Okay, everybody find Orion. Now go under the right foot, or the left foot of Orion, and you see Eridanus. That's the river of fire. It's the second decan of the constellation Taurus. Each of the 12 signs originally had 3 sub-signs for each sign. And the initial purpose of the signs of the zodiac were to reveal the glory of God in you. And not about all this crap that's... It's just like everything else. It's been polluted down to self-realization. All right, now, did anybody have any questions about Orion? We studied it last week, or last time we met. Okay, notice that Eridanus...
The head
he's
holding on to,
and all that. Like that's the head of a lion. It's the skin of a lion. Okay. Remember, everything from Taurus on, with a few exceptions, is judgment. So, now, Orion's, again, his left foot, under his left foot, and under the feet of Taurus, flows this river. Now, this river is huge in terms of the, if you actually saw it in the sky. It goes on forever. And it's just, these are minuscule on the star maps in terms of its what it really does. And again, it's called Eridanus. And Eridanus means the river of the judge. But it became the river of fire. Now, this is where we come back to Gehenna, to hell. Outside the east gate,
that's trash.
He's taking notes.
Yeah, I mean, does that bother you? If it does, I won't do it.
Well, that's why we have this. Okay? Because you can't keep up.
No, go ahead. I won't.
He's got a new fancy iPad.
It doesn't matter.
No, but it doesn't matter. Go ahead, Ollie. I won't take him.
All right. Stop looking at the map for a minute. You can set the map down.
Okay.
Christ talks about you must be baptized with the baptism of fire. Throughout the Old Testament, the prophets talk about the rivers of fire. But we're gonna stop and study what hell is, because hell is the source. Now notice, go back to looking at this again. Notice that Cetus, the type of Satan, is trying to stop the river. He's trying to dam the river.
Yeah.
I notice he has paws in it. I was gonna ask what that means. He has paws in the river.
What?
I noticed earlier he had his paws in the river, and I was wondering why he got his paws in the river.
Well, he's trying to stop it, symbolically.
He wasn't washing out.
Now, ago, on the Feast of Pentecost, John the Revelator, in chapter 21 of Revelation, saw the New Jerusalem descending as a bride prepared for her husband, descending from the heavens to the earth. It never went back up. What?
No, Revelation 21.
Yeah.
Okay.
Never went back up. So now our overriding reality, wherever we are, the only thing that takes you away from that reality is your mind. We are in the New Jerusalem. We are in the mystery in heaven. That's why I kept saying over and over, if you're not in heaven now, you never will be. Now, the New Jerusalem, the Jerusalem that was the parable, all of the people went into the west gate, and they went out the east, out the east gate on the other side was the Valley of Hinnom, or Gehenna. And it was the dump for Jerusalem. In order for it not to smell up the place, they put limestone. And that's where we get the lake of fire as hell. It was the dump. Now, here, for us, there's nothing about you that can enter into heaven, because only enter into the New Jerusalem. The only thing that can enter into the New Jerusalem is what came from the New Jerusalem. The only thing that came from the New Jerusalem is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's the only hope. And the best we can be as human beings is friend of the bridegroom. So now all of time is passing through the New Jerusalem. It doesn't matter where you are on earth, it's the same place. All of time is passing through the New Jerusalem from west to east. That which is tested by the mystery of God that stays in the New Jerusalem. But everything else goes out the dump into this river, Eridanus, or Gehenna. And it lasts as long as time lasts. That's what forever means in the but time isn't going to last much longer. Because when the seventh angel stands in the 10th chapter of Revelation and says the mystery of God is completed, time shall be no longer. Once there's no more time, there's no more hell. You understand that?
You're not going to go to any scriptures?
I am. I'm doing the whole lot of them. All right, so anyway, I just wanted to give you that to understand what Eridanus is on a conceptual basis. All right, so let's go. You know what I'm going to do first? I'm going to tell you about Eridanus from an astronomy standpoint. This just fascinated me to no end. At Eridanus, on the star map, in the actual heavens, astronomers with these multi-arrayed microwave devices have found something that is so shocking to them that they can't even believe it. It's called the cosmic void, or the Eridanus void. It's 1 billion light years across and 10 billion light years deep. You know what a light year is? A light year is the length it takes for light. Right, traveling at the speed of light. Well, anyway.
It's huge.
1 billion and 10 billion, it's a cone. Now, the whole idea of the Eridanus and this myth and everything is it's what went down to the netherworld. And so here we have, there's absolutely nothing. There's no constellations. There's a few, if any, stars in this humongous cone. Yeah. It's called the Eridanus Void. Look it up in your Googles.
We'll be Googling it
tomorrow. Void.
It's shocking to the astronomers and astrophysicists.
It's a void. It's a void of nothingness?
There's almost nothing there. Huh. No constellations, no stars.
Huh. A big gap. Eridanus void. Wow.
But anyway, because it goes into the void of nothingness for the that's what the river is going into. It'll be nothing. It'll be as though those that go to hell will be as though when time is over, then it'll be as though they never existed. Amen?
Yeah.
All right. Now let's go to, we'll study that more later. Let's go to Daniel 7. Now, before we do that, we got to go to Matthew. Matthew 20. I'm coming down with something, so forgive me if I'm a little spacey.
We're going to Matthew 20?
Matthew 20. Ben has got a Bible with tabs in it.
Yes.
31.
My favorite Bible I've ever owned.
You got that here, didn't you?
Holy gave it to me. It's the most special present I've ever had. I'm still trying to think of something for him.
No, don't do that.
Nothingness.
What?
Nothingness?
Yeah,
well, give me obedience to the mystery of God.
Respect.
New cologne. Smells like nothing. Is nothing. You just splash it on. We got nothing.
Matthew 20, verse 20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? And she said unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit on the one on the right hand and the other on the left hand in thy kingdom. Jesus answered and said, excuse me, you know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of? To be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said unto him, We are able. Then he said unto them, You shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit in my right hand and in my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them whom it is prepared of my Father. Now the baptism that he's talking about is the baptism of fire. There are three baptisms of scriptures. There's a baptism of water, there's a baptism of the Holy Spirit, and there's a baptism of fire. Now, the baptism of the fire is the one that's not optional. Because if we are going to... The other parable for the New Jerusalem for heaven is the Garden of Eden. And if you remember, there are two cherubim standing outside the garden with flaming swords, keeping the garden so that no flesh can ever again go into the garden. Now those flaming swords and the fire of eternity was what the people saw on the Feast of Pentecost when the church was began. Because they tried to be very, very, all of the 120 were still, it was a price on their head. And so, but they had to go to the temple. And so they're trying to be really, you can imagine Peter, they're living at Mark's father's house. And they had to build a huge upper room. And you can imagine Peter saying, okay, you know, most of you are Galileans and you talk like idiots. You don't know how to pronounce the words right. So just shut up. And when you're going to the temple and try not to let anybody see you and make any, don't notice you at all. Because there's a price on your head. But the law said, and Jesus told them they had to go there. So what happened? They're trying to be very, very unassuming and very hiding. And all of a sudden, the fires of eternity rose above each one of them, and the sound of a mighty rushing wind identified them. So it blew their cover.
So time was ripped open.
That's right. That's why it happened. Time was ripped open, and they saw this fire above every disciple. So God's sense of humor. But anyway, back to the baptism of fire is all of us must go through that. All right, now let's go to Daniel. Did I say to go to Daniel?
Yes.
Daniel 7.
Yes, exactly. That's great.
I have one on my BlackBerry. The Bible on the iPod.
What?
Mm-hmm. He's
what?
Got the Bible on his iPod.
Yeah, it's great.
Make sure you put the King James Version on it.
There it is. KJV.
That was the problem I had with my BlackBerry Bible, is it didn't have that version. It had all the modern Protestant.
Amplified.
And don't ever get the amplified of the living now, Bible.
Where were we going again?
Daniel chapter 7.
Is that in the front or the back?
Mine's still in the box.
It's right in the middle.
Right in the middle, okay. Daniel, look. 2. There we go. 5, 6, 7.
Now this is about Daniel's vision of the four beasts, which is the same vision that John had in the book of Revelation, but we're not going to study that tonight. We're just going to look in verse 9. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow. And the hair of his head was like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands and thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. Now remember, everything of this we've studied, the first book of the stars was the suffering servant. The second book of the stars, each book had 4 chapters. The second book of the stars was about the church. The third book of the stars, the final book, is about judgment. And so that's where we are. All right. And I beheld, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till a beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given to the burning flame. Now, and this is the rest of it, as you see, it's about Christ. Now, I beheld, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even until a beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. And I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that shall not be destroyed. So anyway, that's the fiery stream that's coming out from under the throne. Let's go to Psalm 50.
Psalm 50.
Verse 1. The mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken, and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto this going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call of the heavens from above, and the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together before me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice, and the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. So again, there's 1,000 places where it talks about this burning, this flame, this fire, this fiery stream. Let's go to one scripture, and then I'm not doing well, so let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3.
What did you say Selah means again?
Selah is a musical instructions to the to the musicians to a pause. Remember, all these were sung.
Yeah.
At the time of Christ, they had a choir of about, how many people did I forgot? 115,000 or something like that.
Yeah, thousands. I can't.
Thousands and thousands of people. All right, 2 Peter. All the way in the back. You've already found it.
Yeah.
You beat me. Now this is the final end. This is the judgment. Okay? And listen carefully what it says. Verse 10. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, when the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth, or a new land wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that we look for such things, be diligent, zealful, if you will, that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. You know, the only way you're without spot and blameless. Now, again, I've got to go back to this dissolved in the fire and melting. When I worked for the government, my job was twofold. One was to monitor the nuclear weapons activities of other countries by either seismic or oceanographic or atmospheric, and then to try to keep other countries from getting atomic weapons. And we had to calibrate our equipment with known tests, our known equipment from the Nevada test sites. So I did a whole bunch of atomic bomb tests. And this was in the 50s. And then came the biggie. There was a test in the Johnson Islands, and it was going to be a new technology. And it was called, the test was called Poplar. And I was one of the people that set an equipment up on an island about somewhere between 30 and 50 miles away. And every day, they do start the countdown, and every day, weather conditions had to be perfect because it was a new technology, and they weren't certain about the megatonnage. It was scheduled to be 3.5 million tons of TNT. That's a million times bigger than the ones for Hiroshima and Nagasaki. So anyway, so every day, put on the glasses, get ready, get the equipment started. Every day, it would start the countdown and it would stop. So pretty soon you get inured to that. And so I stopped, put on the glasses. Well, finally it went off, and I, at the count of three, I finally pulled the glasses down. If I wouldn't, I'd have been permanently blind. It wasn't 3.5 megatons, it was 9.3 million tons of TNT.
Perfect heat.
It vaporized the host island. It vaporized as though they never existed, the ships that were around it. They weren't unoccupied, but they had test equipment. The shockwave that hit me a few minutes later was so intense that it knocked me, I was totally irradiated. It knocked me into the ocean. But I could see, I was close enough to see the blast. But to see that blast totally dissolve an island as if it was never there totally changed my life. And 14 years later is when I had the conversion experience. And that's why we're called Trinity Foundation, because Poplar didn't want a good name, but the name of the first atomic bomb test in the United States was Trinity. And so that's why we're named Trinity, because what happened to me on the conversion experience was what I saw happen in that in the natural. It vaporized all my talents, all my opinions, all my ideas. And he created a new creature, a new thing inside me that has nothing to do with the old.
But then 14 years later, you...
had the conversion experience.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying this is, you've got to see that the conversion, the mystery of God, has nothing to do with the outside. With who, it has nothing to do with your talents. It has nothing to do with your no talents, like me.
No.
It's simply we are a vessel, the best we can be, as a friend of the Bible.
Do your best.
An empty vessel. No, not do your best, an empty vessel. Constantly creating that emptiness. That's how the disciples turned the world upside down in one generation. Not they had no communication equipment, but they did it by emptying. And then where they empty, it was the same as what happens in the center of an eye or hurricane. It's a low pressure zone spiritually, and you create a turmoil all around you, but you don't know it because you're in the center of the hurricane. And if one person, but that's why my prayer has been that we'd have a body of people that would empty. Well, I haven't done too well on that yet, but...
No,
so,
we're all okay. We get it worked out eventually.
Well, when that happens, it'll be vaporized.
That's when this will happen. The world will be vaporized.
Yeah.
Do you understand that the scriptures say that Noah condemned the world by his obedience?
Amen.
And that's what this generation is supposed to do. We are supposed to not try to make friends with the world. We're supposed to condemn the world by our obedience.
Amen.
There's nothing of value in the world from God's standpoint.
Amen.
Except his son in us. Anyway, we'll spend more time on Eridanus. I'm sorry I've gotten kind of nauseous.
No.
And
you shouldn't apologize for
feeling we'll pick up next Wednesday in Eridanus?
Yeah.
Awesome.
There's a lot more about
Eridanus. Yeah. See, I'll get home early enough to read and go through some of the
Okay. We meet every Wednesday night. Next Wednesday.
I have creamy hands.
Next Wednesday we're going to have the memorial service for
Wednesday
night. Upstairs.
I never met.
Oh, I think you did, but you may not remember.